Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is a huge Friday for us because it's a Friday. She's like wondering, what the hell is he saying?
I'm like, what's so big about it?
Yeah, what's so big about it? Well, we love Fridays here on the show.
We do.
And we always come in with a lot of energy on Fridays because it's the weekend. And you know what? It's pretty dark outside. It's probably going to rain heavy for a change, finally.
Yeah, that'll be good.
I mean, rain in LA is just like... it's non-existent, you know? Yeah. I mean, even yesterday, it was just like, I guess parts of the city were rained on, but for the most part, I hardly saw a couple drops.
Right. Yeah, it was drizzling, actually, on me on the way in, but they said it was supposed to start about 12, so...
Oh, really?
But yeah, so maybe it'll start heavy at 12. I don't know.
I think it will be heavy, huh? I mean, it looks pretty dark outside.
Yeah, we actually had to cancel a shoot today we had scheduled.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you needed the sun,
yes.
Huh? And the beach.
Which I have mixed emotions about. I'm kind of excited to take an afternoon off. It'll be nice.
Yeah, there you go, you know. Very cool. So, welcome to the show, everyone. We have a special guest in the studio. We'll get to her in just a minute. I was telling you, if you guys go to CNN.com's page right now, you're going to see a picture of a nun smoking a joint. And I think it's the funniest thing. Maybe I should save this picture. But it's like she's got her eyes closed, the smoke coming out of her eyes, and she's just having a blast.
Oh, my gosh.
So there you go. If you're listening live, check it out.
That's funny.
Yeah. So listen, I have a rant that I gotta go over this morning about dog owners.
Okay.
And specifically one that I'll discuss. But I gotta preface this by saying I do love dogs. I just I can't live with them because I don't like living with animals.
We've talked about this. Like
yes.
The hairs everywhere.
The hairs and the pee and all this stuff. Okay. So we know that. So we established that. So don't tell me I hate dogs. But dog owners is a whole different thing altogether. So yesterday there's a show and last night and the guest brings a dog with her, and downstairs I said, I'm sorry, we can't have dogs in the building, you know. And she's like, well, what do you want me to do? I said, can you leave him in the car? I mean, it was nighttime, you know, it's not hot or anything. Mm-hmm. And plus, I mean, what else am I going to say? She's like, right. No. I said no.
And Casey's watching, so I mean, it's not like...
Well, Casey wasn't here. Oh, okay. It was like 7:30 at night.
Oh, I see.
Right. But, and you see, and I had had bad memory the previous week. Somebody brought a dog. And right? I mean, I told you about that. There was hair all over the studio. There was pee on the floor that I had to clean. Now, I'm asking you, do I have to put up with this? This is like my home. Guests are coming here as guests to my home.
Yeah.
If you don't give me respect, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, that's
you know. But at the same time, I have to smile to them and be nice because, you know, I have clients here as the hosts.
I know, yeah.
And, you know, you got to respect them. And we respect the guests, too. When somebody makes an effort to come here, I always thank them for that.
Sure, of course.
For being a guest. But I think that is extremely rude, extremely disrespectful. I mean, if I was... Look, I could be the biggest dog lover in the world. I even have kids. Let's say I had small kids, right? I don't have anywhere to put them. You don't take them to a radio station. You're going to be... Or any business thing.
Yeah.
You just don't.
I agree. Totally.
You just don't. I would never take a dog. I would never take a little child. I wouldn't even bring another person if I hadn't asked first. Or got, you know, or they said it was okay. Mm-hmm. Because you're the one who's being invited, not you, dog, you know. So so I felt helpless, you know, and sure enough, but what pisses me off is when she says, oh, it's a service dog. And I'm like, you know, you boil inside because you know it's not. It's a friggin' little Pomeranian. You know, to me, a service dog is when you're blind and you can't see and the dog is guiding you, okay?
Yeah.
All right. A little Pomeranian, the only service it can do is maybe lift your depression a little bit. You know what? I don't have to deal with this, you know. So, I mean... if I really wanted to get into an argument, I would say, well, show me the certificates that this is a service dog. Because that's the code word to disarm everybody.
Everyone knows that that's what you say.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
It's like, oh, it's a service.
I mean, when I drove Uber one time for that brief month, somebody wanted to bring a dog and they said service dog. I said, I'm sorry, no dogs in the car. I take other passengers. I can't take a chance that somebody's going to be allergic or anything. And that's the situation here too at the station. We have dozens of people coming through here. I think I deserve to respect them and not have dog hair in the studio. So I have to be the policeman and, you know, I'm like the bad guy. And dog people don't understand that. And I'm sorry about that, but you have to be thoughtful of other people. The problem is that many people consider a dog like their family. So I understand that. Okay, fine. But so find a sitter for your friggin' dog. You know, don't bring it. It's like taking your kids to the movies because you don't have a babysitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's my rant for today, folks. Now I'm feeling a lot better. And by the way, I just got to say, so I look up online to see who she is, right? She's very beautiful, I got to admit.
Wait, who?
The guest.
The dog owner. Okay.
Yes, with the dog owner. So she ended up bringing the dog in. Of course, I didn't want to start anything.
Right.
Yeah. So she was a gorgeous 27-year-old, I think. You know, blonde, very fit and everything. And so I then Googled her. And sure enough, she was a Playboy playmate or something. So so I'm like, well, now I understand why she has so many followers. She's got like 150,000 on Twitter. She's got, what, 3.5 or 350,000 on Facebook or something? Or maybe I saw a million. I don't know. I'm like, where the hell is she getting all these followers? So then I did her name with the word nude in on Google, and that's when I started finding out. But she's not really hiding on her Twitter thing. She says Miss May 2012.
Sure, yeah.
Right? But no, she never even mentioned it. She's like, oh, I'm a singer, I'm an actress, I had a show on Sirius XM. Yeah, which is where the Playboy channel used to be.
Right.
So, but the bottom line is, she's showing her coochie-coochie to the whole world. And the bottom line is, that's how you get followers. Spread your legs, you're going to get 500,000. No problem. So there you go. So I don't, I'm not impressed. No, bashed the shit out of her. Well, nobody knows, so it's fine.
Nobody knows.
Yeah, but I have. That's why I have a radio show, so I can express and not keep it inside.
Yes,
and exactly. Yeah, and I invite her to listen. Actually, if she doesn't like it, well, let's have a conversation.
Yeah,
yeah. Let's have a good argument and see who's right. But at any rate, we're going to bring in our guest right now, and I'll introduce her. Like I told you, Kelsey, we met at Sheena's party last Sunday, right?
Uh-huh.
It was last Sunday night at the Improv. It was a great show. She had some child actors and actresses like she always does. And there, that's where I met Tina. Hi, welcome to the show, Tina.
Thank you.
Tina Karras, singer-songwriter, and also I might add a great photographer. She's she's got like business cards with pictures of Greece and stuff.
Oh, so wow. I saw that in the email.
Right?
Yeah.
So we have to ask, what is it with you in Greece?
Well, my family
closer to the mic.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. Yes. My family is from Greece.
From Greece.
Yes.
Where specifically in Greece? Are they like from both from the same place?
No. Well, sort of. My dad is actually from Sparta, so he immigrated over here in the '60s, and then my mom's family is Greek, but her family's from the island of Patmos, and then Lakonia, which is the county that is in Sparta, so the Spartan. So we consider ourselves three-quarter Spartan and one-quarter from Pablo.
Wow. Can you imagine Kelsey saying, my father is a Spartan?
Yeah. I know,
I mean, my God, you know? That's a big deal.
I know.
And, wow. So that's pretty cool. Now, but you were born here, right?
Yes. I was born in Charlotte, North Carolina.
So you're like a first generation in your family.
Totally.
In North Carolina, did you say?
Yeah.
Oh, what city?
Charlotte.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I used to know someone in Charlotte. North Carolina. Well, they used to have a show here, so we would talk to them all the time. But what's it like growing up there? Is it pretty nice?
You know, it's interesting because Charlotte today is not the Charlotte I grew up in. It's
way before
Bank of America moved down there, way before my big fat Greek wedding. You know, people didn't even know what Greek was.
Right.
It was very small.
I love my big fat Greek wedding too, by the way.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you got to go.
Is it? Okay,
yeah, she just saw it. She said it's good.
Yeah, so when I made my own business cards, actually, I had just come back from Greece, seeing it for the first time as an adult.
What?
And yeah, and like we, the pictures I took, it's funny you were saying, because they actually did come out really well.
They really did, like, yeah. Well, did you use a special, I mean, a camera or the iPhone or
it
something?
It was both. I had a little Canon, just a little one. It wasn't even like a professional
camera. Yeah, it's not like you have to, but that's the thing, though, is that you must have the talent for it, because pictures are like framing, angles, lighting, things like that, you know, like the way you see it, you know. So you can take the Parthenon, for example, right? And millions of people, millions of pictures have been taken of it, but they're each different.
Yeah, and that's the thing, the Parthenon to me was so, that's what I was telling you Sunday night, you have to go and see it because it's so inspiring. Because you just look at this and how do they build this on top of this mountain, especially way back then, you know, and it, to me it was very, it just really re-inspired me as an artist and as a musician. And is, you know, how mathematic everything,
everything is
so
like,
precise.
Yes, the geometry and the angles and everything. I mean, they even say that some of the columns are like not even, so it will look better when you look at it in perspective.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
The way your eye sees things, they accounted for that. So it's actually curved, but because it looks straight.
The Greeks, the ancient Greeks were fascinated with beauty. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really, I mean, that was a big part of their culture. I mean, look at Venus and, you know, representing beauty and and love and things like that. So a lot of their art and architecture is still to this day very impressive.
Yeah, very impressive. And so to me, growing up Greek in North Carolina, you know, it was interesting because, you know, it's very southern, very conservative. It's the Bible Belt. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then I go to the Greek church where everything is, you know, very fancy, ornate mass. You know, it's very much like Catholicism with, you know, the velvet.
Like Greek Orthodox, is that what they call it? Is that what you describe it as?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was a weird dichotomy to grow up in that. And I didn't really even embrace the Greek culture until I got older. And then when I realized, you know, being there and seeing what they did, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And so it really did inspire me. And that's what music is to me. It's very much scientific and emotional and spiritual, physical. It's math. It's everything.
Yeah, that's cool. So when did you first discover that you liked music to the point where you're going to adopt it as part of your life?
Actually,
is it early on?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I was 17.
Oh, really?
And it was right before I was about to graduate high school. And I just picked up a guitar, got a guitar for my birthday, and I've just been playing ever since.
Oh, nice.
And then I was going to UNC Chapel Hill in the next year, and I kind of jumped into the music degree because I'm like, let me just learn as much as I can.
Really?
You know, I love the history, the theory. It was really difficult. I was behind the whole time, since it was basically a beginner in a lot of ways. But
yeah. At C, did you say you went to USC?
UNC.
UNC.
Tar Heels.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, it sounds like USC, so that's good. No, I'm kidding. I actually think people that go to USC are a little snobbish, but maybe they've earned it.
They
know?
Have that reputation.
Exactly. But they've earned it. They put so much money into their education.
Oh, my gosh. It was a toss-up for me between UT Austin and USC. And when I looked at what the bill would be from USC, I was like, oh, Ron, I'm going to Austin.
Totally. They look at that like it's like Duke to Carolina as UCLA to USC. Like the private school that's, ridiculously expensive.
Ridiculously expensive. And you know what the irony is? It's in the worst part of town.
I know. That is the irony. And then, like, UCLA is the best part of town. Yeah. It's funny.
What a funny town we live in, folks.
Yep.
So you grew up in Charlotte. Do you have siblings? Do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I have two sisters in the middle of three.
Uh-huh.
And then one sister actually just...
Me too, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
No way. Okay.
Oh.
Cool middle kids. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
middle kids.
It's hard being us. We make it look easy.
right. But I know. I mean, middle children are... I think they're easier to get along with. Wouldn't you say? I mean, I found that they're not as extreme. You know, the firstborn is extreme. I'm firstborn, you know. It's like always like a lot of expectations from them, a lot of, you know, from the second child, it's like, well, whatever, you know. I mean, I learned from my brother and sister that's older and not as much pressure on me and things like that. I don't know. I just tend to look at it that way. Whereas I think many firstborns are totally screwed up, like me.
Yeah. Hey, yeah.
So who knows? But that whole birth order thing is a very interesting thing. You need to read up on it. It's amazing how accurate it is.
I totally agree because I feel like I was the one who moved to California by myself.
Me too. You know?
Oh, really?
Wow. And so maybe you were sisters in a, even twins in a previous life, right?
We need to go to Damien over at Past Lives. Yeah. Do a regression on us.
Yeah, she was on the Past Lives show. We need to talk about that. We never got a chance to yesterday.
Yeah.
That was funny. Oh, that's cool. But yeah, we have all kinds of shows here, you know.
No, I love it. I love being here. Everybody here is so nice. It's such a welcoming atmosphere. It's very cool.
Thank you.
You created something really nice.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. I like when people notice, you know, because some people will bring a dog and they don't really give a shit.
Yeah, I almost brought my cat, so I'm glad.
Yeah, I'm glad. Oh, cat would really be great.
My God.
Wow. So how long have you lived in L.A. now?
I guess maybe 15 years.
Oh, okay. So you've been here a while.
A long time.
Okay, so this is home for you.
This is home for me. When I go back home, it's weird because it's grown and changed so much.
Wow. Very cool. And the rest of your family is still back there, so you're the only one out here?
Actually, my younger sister was out here for a little bit. She just moved to Nashville, Tennessee, like 6 months ago. And then my older sister lived in D.C. for a little bit, but she just moved to Charlotte recently. And then my parents actually live in Georgia.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, Charlotte. Gosh. So
you guys all over.
Yeah, exactly. So for a long time when I would go home, it wasn't really home because I didn't know.
Nobody was there, right?
Georgia was like, I don't know this place. I'm in a foreign city. So.
Right. Oh, how interesting. Yeah. Okay. So.
Wow. And how long ago did you go to Greece? You said like the first time, right?
Yes.
As an adult.
Well,
so.
Technically, I went as an infant, but I do not remember anything. There's pictures of me there.
Yeah. You see, when I was there, I was 11, so I don't remember much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there on a trip. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would say I wish I had gone sooner.
Yeah.
Because I really didn't, you know, I just didn't really understand the impact of what it was. I didn't really understand. You know, it's like you hear things or whatever. And I mean, everything happens for a reason, the right timing. But it really was just an amazing trip to go back. And, you know, it's kind of almost like a pride thing in a way. You're like, this is where I'm from. So
yeah, that's true.
Cool.
Yeah. And your sister ending up in Nashville, is she a musician too? I mean, that begs the question.
She's an artist.
Really?
She does a lot of creative mixed media art, costume design, set design.
And Nashville is a good market for that?
Well, it's just a great town.
It is a great town.
Yeah, it's very creative.
Oh, okay.
There's just such an artist community.
Oh, okay. Because I think music, you know, Nashville music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When I went there, it's like every 10 feet, somebody's playing guitar somewhere.
Really?
It's everywhere. I like the city a lot, too.
It's fun. It's also South. They have the good food.
Yeah.
Grits everywhere. You can't find grits here.
Yeah.
That's true, huh? What are they like? Is it good? Like an oatmeal or something? What is it?
Kind of like a cream of wheat, but you add butter and salt to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of butter and salt.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty good, actually.
It is, really good. It is good. I like it.
Yeah? I got to try it just because, you know, it's something that we don't have here, you know?
Yeah.
We should. Yeah.
I'm going to interrupt the show for just a moment. I have breaking news. The suspect in the Paris attacks was captured.
Oh, good.
Belgian authorities announced several terror-related arrests.
Yes.
So they captured him. Now, good. Now we're going to see what the hell. Hang him in town square by the balls.
Seriously.
That's what they would do in another country, right?
Right. It's terrible. No, actually on my trip to Greece, on my way back, I stopped in Paris by myself for like 3 days. I wish I'd stayed longer.
Yeah. Isn't it great? Yeah.
It's awesome. And to do that to that amazing city, it's just to do anywhere is terrible, but come on.
I know. And then, you know, ISIS destroying all these like ancient remains and archaeological remains in places in Syria and Iraq and things like that, and they destroy them, you know?
I know, it's
and
horrible.
It's like, it's like if you destroy the Parthenon or something, these are like, this is our culture.
I don't understand. And, you know, I was reading this story, and I mean, a bunch of, you know, human rights groups are kind of up in arms about it, but it was this woman who was gang raped and was sentenced to like 200 lashes and jail time because she was like some bullshit. Like she was not in a car with a relative, a male relative, you know, all those stupid rules.
Yeah, so like blame her for
exactly. Yeah. And the rapist got like 5 years or some shit.
Right.
Like, Jeez, man. I mean, it's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. It's like, I'm telling you, it's a stone age and people won't admit it, you know? And that's all. That's why people support Trump. Not because, I don't think, because of racism. I think people are afraid of Muslims. That's it. I'm not saying it's a good thing to be afraid of them, but you, when you look at their culture,
I agree.
You know, when you look at their culture, it's kind of scary. I don't know, but we can talk about that. We're back to Tina now. The hell with the suspect in Paris. I don't care. Totally. But at any rate, so you moved here and stuff. What were your plans to do here? Did you move for music?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I did move for
music.
Oh, wow.
So for a few years, you sunk your teeth into music, picked up a guitar. Did you play before then?
No. Well, I did play violin in middle school, if
really?
That counts.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That counts, my God. I
violin,
mean, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, did you like it or did you?
Yeah, my teachers were pretty terrible, but, you know, I actually liked the music itself. And and then when I decided I wanted to write, I really did just jump into it, and I couldn't get enough of the music theory. I loved it.
Really?
It was really, really hard, but it was just awesome. And every semester I would torture myself with, do I really want to keep doing this? You know, because it took up all my time. It's like, you know, the college experience for me was not, you know, the drunken frat parties and that whole thing, which I think is a great thing, looking back.
But that's not what you moved for.
Exactly. Yeah. So then I was graduating college and trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to make a living as a songwriter?
Right.
Are there any jobs out there for that? So my plan originally was to maybe to stay in Raleigh, North Carolina. I didn't want to go back to Charlotte. It was my hometown, you know.
Yeah.
You know, wanted to move somewhere else. And I was interning at a radio station at the time. And so that was right as SFX came in and bought up a bunch of radio stations. So
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a very weird time. Yeah. So then I was just trying to figure out what to do. And my mom heard about this Suzuki teacher training class where I could learn to teach in a certain style, classical guitar. So like, oh, I'll do that. I'll become a teacher. So... and then come back and work in radio and, you know, continue that. And so the class was actually in L.A. So I flew out here and took the class. And actually, surprisingly, L.A. reminded me of Charlotte a lot. It's just very spread out. I mean, granted, it's not half as big.
Right.
But it just felt like, I could live here. It felt good. And actually, that week, it was very serendipitous because my college was having an alumni dinner that I went to, and then I actually knew quite a few people who were there.
Wait, so, in LA?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, there's a lot of Carolina people out here.
Oh, really?
Especially in the movie industry, music, and so they have this dinner, this alumni reception, and I just happened to be here that week.
Oh, wow.
So by the end of the week, I pretty much knew I was going to move to LA, and it was not planned at all before that. I really thought I would just move back to North Carolina and pursue things from there.
Wow, how cool.
Yeah.
So did you manage to find a like a paying gigs and stuff like that?
Sometimes I did, but
for the most part you realized I better get a day job until I make it in the music business. So at least you came here with a head on your shoulder. You know, a lot of people don't, you know, they come here too young and they think, you know, what the hell, it's like I'm just gonna make music here and the hell with everything else, and they're poor.
I know.
They're
so what
poor.
Did you do for your day job?
You know? She's laughing because she probably went through that.
I did go through that. Yeah. You know, I think
because you don't know, right, in the beginning.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah, you do. Yeah,
you think, oh, I'm a struggling artist. This is great. You know, I'm living. No, it's, you know, I think there's a lot of good things that come out of that. There's a lot of learning about yourself, who you are, what's important to you.
Right.
You know, as a bartender for a while, I was a temp. I did all kinds of random stuff. Mm. But you're right. It's not good.
Yeah.
It sucks. So worry about rent every month. You know, and it does. I think it does get in the way of your creativity if you're worrying about that. It's hard
course.
To think, you know, let me go sit and write a song or let me pay my rent.
Exactly. And so I ask, why can't you get a day job? Not you. I'm asking the people that don't. Why can't you get a day job and then make your music at night? What's wrong with that? You know, but they come here and they say, oh, I'm a musician, so that's all I'm going to do.
I mean, I get your point and I totally agree, but I will say.
Yes.
It is hard because when you get something like a day job, say it's a 9-to-5, first off, I mean, a lot of people, if you're in the music industry or entertainment industry or whatever, auditions are during the day, even for music. And I mean, so you couldn't go to any of them if you had a 9-to-5. And then not only that, but you get so engulfed in that job that you have no time for what you're actually here for.
Right.
So it's like, it's kind of a toss up. It's like, okay, do you be comfortable and work on it slowly, or do you screw everything and focus 110% and try to do it? So I don't know. It is hard. It's not that easy, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
No, you're right. Look, I mean, I understand. I get it, you know. But what do other people do that do get day jobs? And look, I said day jobs, but you could be a bartender at night.
Well, a lot of times they end up doing their day job and not doing their passion.
Yeah. But honestly. But, no. But what I'm saying, look, I guess I meant with the music is if it's your passion and you're creative about it, you don't need to have that as your living, your livelihood, right? I mean, if you want music, you love music, you do it anyway, whether you get paid for it or not.
Yes.
Okay, so what I'm saying is develop your talent, develop your music, write a few good songs, record them at night, record them in the day, whenever you can, and that's how you do it. You got to do parallel because, and look, it goes with everything. When I started the radio station, I really wanted to jump into it full time because it required it. Yeah. But I also had to pay the bills. So I kind of like stayed where I was and I had to do all at one time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's only transitional. It's only for a while, you know. But look, I get it. You know, I mean, you're saying if you take it seriously, then you really have to go to the auditions and you have to be available and so forth. I understand. I agree with that. But as long as what I'm saying to people is pay your bills first and then you have room for your creativity and come up with that and then try to sell that to people and see what happens. You know, that's the best you can do. And I imagine that's what you've probably done because you don't seem poor to me.
No, actually, it's funny. It's like, is Rebecca rubbing off on you? Because you're describing my life exactly.
Oh, really?
But that's what I do. You know, I have a job and then I spend as much of my free time. You know, at night I go home and I record. I've set myself
What's your day job?
I work for it's a very unique business.
Oh, okay.
I actually help run bars and music venues across the state. So I get to work from home and then I
travel.
That
is nice.
It's good. It's a great job. It's really, gives me a lot of flexibility.
That's cool.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been there about 2.5 years now.
Nice. It's pretty stable.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's great. Good. And it's still, somewhat connected to the music industry a little bit.
Yeah, it is. Sounds like it.
Yeah, the liquor business is a lot of fun. I've actually learned a lot, and it's actually helped me become a better businesswoman.
Really?
That will, permeate my music career as well.
Right.
Which it has. So, that's the way I look at it, that you don't have to be so extreme, like you're saying, okay,
yeah,
I'm either a musician or I'm a business person. It's like you can blend all of it, and you can do all of it, and it depends on how you think about it.
Yeah.
Because, I've released my record independently, and like you're saying, I'm a musician, I'm a songwriter. I don't necessarily have to have my livelihood coming from that to still be a musician. And, of course I want that.
Yeah, no, of course.
But on the way to that doesn't mean that I'm not already that.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It totally does. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Tina Karas, if you haven't realized, songwriter. I just said you just joined us, so obviously they don't know what we talked about before. Duh. So, and Tina is here in the studio, and we're talking about her background, and we'll get to the music. So now, we did touch on the music, and I don't want to run out of time. We still have some time, but without talking about your music and listening to some of it, you know. So let's pepper the show with a couple songs. You guys, by the way, can go to tinakaras.com. That's tinakaras.com. And you can find out more about her and her music and so forth. And then we're going to play a couple of tunes that I guess they can sample from your website too, right?
Definitely.
And then you guys can judge for yourself now. For yourselves now, I haven't listened to any of your music yet, so because I wanted to be surprised with the guests, okay? So we can talk about this because I've said this many times before. I don't do research on our guests because I don't want to know anything about them until the listeners do, and I find out with them.
Okay,
so we're gonna find out about your music for me.
Woo-hoo.
And Kelsey for the first time.
Yep,
right.
Good.
So Now, so describe your music a little bit. I mean, I see like there's 8 tracks. Are they all like the same style, or did you mix different ones? Do you have ballads? Do you have upbeat songs?
Yeah, it's definitely a mix of everything.
Really?
There's a few that are very classical guitar based. Uh-huh. There's one piano song that's kind of got a little bit jazz blues influence. And then there's some just more rock upbeat songs as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let's start with the rock beat song, okay? Because that's my favorite.
Yeah.
And we need to be up this morning. We'll get to the dramas and ballads later. So, Lemon Lime Soda, yeah, would that be one?
That would be the one.
I love the title for this. So let's go ahead and listen to Tina with Lemon Lime Soda. Yeah, okay, there we are. Can you hear me? Yeah. I'm not used to playing the music and talking at the same time, so I thought I lost my mic here for a second. Great song, huh?
Yeah.
Lemon Lime Soda.
I love it.
Now, where did you get the idea for that song?
I know. You know, it's actually funny, speaking back to my day job, because it was liquor. And I guess I was just contemplating in the car. It's where I get a lot of my ideas.
Sure.
Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess a lemon lime soda. You know, I don't even know what it, you know, I forget that it's just sugary to me. And I'm like, oh, I guess it is lemon lime. I don't even know what it is, but I just like it. And
yeah.
So I just started laughing. I'm like, that's kind of funny. And then it just kind of evolved where I was actually listening to a bunch of spiritual teachers and stuff like that. And they were saying, just focus on something easy to love.
Uh-huh.
And then, because what you want is the feeling of love, no matter what your object
right.
is. And so,
do you realize how far from the mic you've gotten?
Oh, my goodness. Sorry.
We can't hear you. It sounds like you're in the other room.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No.
You'll thank me later after you listen to that. Yeah, but that's a great idea. So you focused on the lemon lime soda.
Yeah, just focus on something easy to love and then let the feeling rip.
Wow.
And let it flow. And that's really what the song is about, where it's like it doesn't have to be difficult. Be more lighthearted, upbeat. You know, because especially, you know, as a musician with a, you know, being very dramatic and,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, it doesn't have to be so hard. Maybe life can be easy. And I would really, instead of writing the depressing songs I wrote in my 20s, let me be upbeat. What does music do for me? And I would rather make me feel better than worse. And so that's where a lot of my songwriting has evolved in that direction, where it's like I want somebody, there's music that does that to me, like when I listen to CCR, no matter what mood I'm in, I feel amazing after I listen to John Fogerty.
That's true, right?
You know, and so if I could do that for somebody else and write a song where it makes you feel like dancing, or you forget about whatever you're worried about, I think that's what music can do, and that's what I would like my music to do.
Right. So where do your songs come from? I mean, do you like sort of like get ideas, like while you're in the car, or will you sometimes sit with a guitar and start from scratch and say, okay, what am I going to write today?
Yeah, you know, anytime
I ask that question, nothing good comes.
Really?
Really?
It has to be inspired. It's usually when I'm doing something else. If I'm on a walk, or if I'm just doing something, then the ideas just flow.
Right.
But if I ever sit down, I'm going to write this song.
Oh, it never works.
It never works.
Right. Yeah.
So, and then, you know, it's in the studio with my producer, Billy Grazia Day. He was a lead singer of Biohazard, is a lead singer. And he would send me home with homework. So, like, with this song, he's like, you know, we need a guitar fill here. Why don't you come up with something? And that's where I got the idea for Misulu, which is, you know, that very old Greek folk song. And so that's where that guitar riff came from.
Oh, really?
And it fit perfectly.
Yeah.
I've always loved that song. So I was really happy to embrace that and put it into something.
Yeah. Now, did you feel that, like, in your music, you've evolved because you mentioned your 20s and so forth, that's when you started. Do you have songs from the entire period here, or is it just recent songs?
Oh, no, I have some that are really old.
Really?
Like,
so let's listen to some early one. Okay. Like, I'm really curious.
Okay.
Out of the eight here, like, what was your first song? Do you have it on here?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah,
Oh, my gosh.
I'd be curious.
I would say in Potential Energy is me writing music about if I can write music.
Really?
Wow. Okay.
So that's where I come from.
Sounds like she was high at the time. Right. That's an idea I would get when I was high. Yeah.
So what are you doing with the rest of your wants to know, 'cause after all these years, honey, my, you don't have anything to show. I hid inside myself, left those curtains drawn, 'cause I just couldn't bear being wrong. But some ways will bend and they'll find me, and until I move, I'm just potential energy. Potential energy.
That's cool. I like
beautiful.
That.
Beautiful.
Yeah. You can sort of like see the, in the lyrics, you know, you can sort of like see you're trying to find a direction or something, I guess, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
And actually, the next song, Kinetic Energy and The Magnificent Machine, those three are really tied together, where you start from this place of, why am I here? Kinetic energy, where it's like, oh, I'm getting a sense of who I am, why I'm here. And The Magnificent Machine is really embracing, I know why I'm here, this is who I am, it's magnificent, you know.
Yeah.
And
wow, she's pretty deep, huh?
Yeah, I know.
Cool. We need to have some conversations.
I know.
I mean, you know, it's so refreshing to find, like, people that actually think, you know, and it's cool, and you put it into your music, and it's really nice.
Beautiful,
you know, yeah.
Thank you.
Because a lot of musicians don't have much between their ears. They just have the music, which comes from the heart, I think. So, you know, but you managed to put it together. And usually I don't really listen to lyrics and stuff, you know, but now I had the opportunity because I'm listening closely and you have the lyrics here also. So you guys should go to Tina's website. And it's tinakaris.com. And there's go to the music link, and you can get to her music from there. And you can listen to some of the songs. You can buy them as well. And wow, you're on many, many different places, which is cool. Bandcamp and eMusic and iHeartRadio and all that. Wow, very cool. On Amazon, of course, and iTunes, you guys can get the music. And even on Spotify. Now, so Now, what's the deal with Spotify? They don't pay a lot, right? I mean, what the hell?
But you I know they have a bad reputation for that, right?
But you gotta be on it, right?
Yes. Well, this is the thing. I enjoy streaming. It is a great idea. It's here to stay.
It is. I know.
But the pay scale is ridiculous. It's like a 50th of a penny.
Of a percent?
It's of a penny.
You're really? Joking.
No. And I'm like, whoever came up with a fraction of a penny is just, you know.
Yeah, ridiculous.
I mean,
come
on. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, and I will say this about Apple Music. They do pay a whole penny for a song.
Wow.
Well, hey now.
Which is 50 times more. So, it's a weird place to be with music because it is, the digital world is a double-edged sword where it's like, you know, there's no gatekeepers now.
Exactly.
I can put my music out there, but yet people aren't necessarily buying it.
Right.
Yeah,
so you get your name out there, but you don't get anything.
But you need to understand, though, again, you see, music, you don't have immediate gratification financially from it.
Right.
You know, I mean, look, there's so much competition out there. There's so much to listen to, and people don't always listen to music. Hopefully they listen to radio shows like ours, you know?
Right.
Yeah. But I listen to a lot of music, and I go on Spotify because it's so convenient.
It's so convenient.
And I do pay the $10 a month because I like it in mobile, and I also want the artist to be paid.
Yeah.
You know, because I think about that, and I'm thinking, you know,
they
deserve it. But at the same time, you know, I can listen as many times as I want, and it's right there, you know. But why? Because I'll tell you what happens. When I used to buy songs, then they would just sit there after I listened to the hell out of a good song, you know, when I first discover it.
Yeah.
And then I get tired of it for a while, so I put it away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so then after a while, and with digital downloads, you don't even have something to hold. You know, yesterday we were talking to our guest about it. He was a music retailer in Chicago.
He was interesting, yeah.
Yeah, very sweet man. And we were talking about how some people like the package of the CD.
It's like,
you know,
something tangible.
And the vinyl records and things like that, you know, like video movies, they like those boxes as well and so forth. But we miss that, you know.
Yeah.
I think we miss that. At the same time, you have to understand, so you know what? The music business has been transformed to the point where making money from selling your songs is not the business model anymore. It's not a viable one anymore.
Right, it's changed.
And I think it can be if you get to, you know, because there's still a lot.
Well,
of
but you got
to
be really big.
Exactly.
Those people still exist. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying. It is. Yeah. I think the evolution. You know, the music industry is always evolving, and the pendulum is always
swinging back and forth.
Yeah. So I think, you know, as long as they start paying artists more, then I think we'll be fine. You know,
right.
I mean, that's like you're saying. It goes back to, does my livelihood necessarily have to come from what my passion is?
Yeah.
And that's a question I ask myself
all day, every day. That's right.
All the time.
And I bet that you do because
you're
that kind of a person, right? You think about these things.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Some people don't accept it, you know.
Yeah.
So I
hope that, you know, I'm doing what I can, staying true to myself.
Exactly. You're doing everything you can.
Yes.
And also, do you perform live? I would imagine you do, right?
I haven't in a really long time.
Really?
And I am looking to do that now because, you know, I just recorded the record. I mean, it's been out for a year. But, you know, like going back to having a full-time job, putting everything in there. And, you know, I used to perform around L.A. all the time.
Really? You had, like, your spots.
Totally, yeah. And, you know, me and the guitar up on stage. And it was great, you know.
Yeah,
but now that I've recorded a whole record, I'd love to have drums. I know you want the whole band.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I know what you mean. But you know what's amazing here? I see that you played a lot of the instruments, which is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Let me go back to the other page. But I mean, guitars, pianos, and vocals.
Wow,
that's almost everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fun. It was awesome. The piano is great.
Yeah. Did you, so you grew up learning the violin. Did you play the piano early on too? Or?
Not really. No.
No, so that came later.
Yeah, like when I was a music major in college.
Did you just have a knack for it?
Well, this is the thing about music. I think that everyone can play it. I think it's just if you think you can or can't. And you just got to start at the beginning and you just get better. You know, it was very rewarding to me. I bought a songbook on piano and I only can play like two songs at the beginning. A year later, I could play almost everything.
Yeah.
The thing is just practice. You just get in there and you just enjoy it and do it.
Yeah.
And I picked up piano on my own while I was in college. And I was a classical guitar major, so that was my big instrument. Yeah. Wow. And then the piano I just picked up and just kept playing. Because that's where I could be free. Right. You know, I was in lessons and it was very structured. And the piano, I can just go lock myself in a practice room. Because in the basement of the music department, like, rooms this size, you know, like, you know, 10 by 10, and right. a piano, and that was it.
Oh, my gosh.
You just shut out the whole world and play and just do whatever you wanted.
Yeah,
you
know. That's very cool. Now, yeah. See, Kelsey laughs at me because I always have one point in the show where I forgot what
I know. It's like, I have something to say. Oh, and then he's okay. like, wait, what was I going to say?
The... The genre of the music, what do you consider your music as? Do you have different kinds, do you think? You don't want to box it in,
yeah,
right?
It's a really hard question to answer, yeah. to be honest with
okay,
you.
So,
it's kind of a combination.
So the reason I asked that, because the follow-up question would be, so how did you pick that genre? But what you're saying to me is that this just comes to me. I haven't really decided on a genre. I can't really describe it. It's just a Tina Kirish type of music, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Right?
That's my genre from now on.
It's like, you know, it'd be hard to even classify, really.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, because they have different types. Yeah. Now, before we go, I mean, I want to, you said there's one with partly Greek.
Oh, that was the lemon lime soda. That was the one.
Oh, that was the one. So
with the guitar in the back. Yeah, I love that
part. Okay. Was that the bouzouki then?
Well, it was actually guitar.
Oh, it was guitar, but
we played
it
that style. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. But have you ever listened to bouzouki? That's like a Greek guitar.
So good. I've never actually even heard of it.
Really?
Yeah. You've definitely heard it.
Heard it played.
Yeah, definitely.
If you play, yeah, because it's a very unique kind of instrument.
Yeah.
But when you hear it, you know right away. It's sort of like a banjo, but
okay.
But different.
And it's Greek, like it was.
It's Greek,
oh,
yeah.
And there's an Irish one, I think.
Really?
Yeah. There's.
But they wouldn't call it bouzouki, would they?
No, they do. It's
really
Irish
the Irish one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. Wow.
So, is there any place in LA that's kind of your dream place to play?
Probably Staples.
Right? I know.
Maybe one day I would love to sell out Staples one day. That would be amazing.
Yeah, well, you never know. Yeah, you never know.
Or Hollywood Bowl. That one's a good
one. Wouldn't
that
be great, too?
That's nice out there. Yeah.
Wow. Now, this was mastered by Maor Applebaum.
Yes.
He had to be Israeli, right?
Yeah, so you pronounced his name correctly.
Exactly. Like, yes. That's how I could, you know. It's M-A-O-R. How would you pronounce it?
M-A-O-R. Mayor.
Mayor, right?
Yeah.
It's Maor.
Oh.
Yeah, which means light, you know, like
great.
Yeah, like illumination or something. But at any rate, so how did you connect with him?
Actually, through Billy. He usually...
Billy, the producer.
Yeah, the producer. He
okay.
goes through him. And
okay.
So they work together all the time.
Very cool. And then you had a bass player, Rod Diaz.
Yes.
And
he's phenomenal. He's so good.
Really? Awesome.
I really like the instrumentals on your album.
Thank you.
They're pretty.
So you connected with a lot of great people, obviously, and that's important. No album can be done alone, completely alone, right?
I agree with that, because I used to do demos by myself on my computer, and then when I got into the studio, I realized how... You know, you just really do need someone else in the room with you.
Right.
You.
It's not like doing MIDI type music is not where it's at. You know, I mean, you can create music yourself, but it doesn't have the soul or the depth
of
people actually.
It's so much more dynamic
when
you're making a studio album.
Yeah.
Because it's man against machine, you know, and you can tell.
Yeah, and I can focus on just singing instead of, wait a minute, where's the microphone? Let me hit record at this
time.
Yeah. Let me run and do, you're split, and it's better just to be...
Too many jobs.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Tina Kirish, how can people find you and connect with you if they want to?
I'm Instagram,
Spotify, I will do that right
Facebook.
Now.
Yeah, that'd be great.
What's your... Oh, so... And they can find all the links from your website. So we might as well just send them there. Go to Tina Kirish, KARRAS.com, and you'll find out everything about her. And listen to the music and maybe support her by buying a couple songs. Although you buy a couple songs, that's $2. Come on, that's not a lot of support. You know?
I know.
Yeah, buy the song about 100 times, then we'll talk.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I like that. You're hired. You can
exactly. You know, I mean, I could buy it 50 times.
Sam the publicist.
All right. Yeah, I'll be your evangelist and guru. Okay. All right. Tina, thank you so much for joining
you're
us.
Welcome.
You're a lot
thank
of fun.
You.
You're welcome back anytime. Much success in the music. I know it means a lot. Keep doing what you can, and that's it. It'll happen one way or another, and find a business model that works, because in the digital world, like we said, selling your records does not make the money. The big stars make it from performances, live
right.
performances, and things like that. And I don't know, if I really give it some thought, maybe I'd be able to figure out how to make some money from my songs. But I don't know, maybe insert an ad in the beginning of the song or something. Find a sponsor, something like that. I don't know. Whatever. At any rate, so Tina, thank you again for
You're
joining
welcome.
Us.
Thank you.
We didn't cover a lot. I mean, we
I
only
know.
Stopped when she was 18.
I know.
And she has accomplished so much with it. Anyway, so weekend coming up, folks. Thank you all for joining us for another great week.
Yes.
Kelsey, have a good one.
Yeah.
I hope it rains so you don't have to work.
I know, right? I'll just go to the spa downstairs.
Yeah, exactly. A spa downstairs, folks. Just imagine that. And with that thought, we'll see you all on Monday.
Bye, guys.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.